It's a transition 8 years in the making. Democrat Janet Mills taking the reins of state government. Welcome to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz. It was this week's big political story, of course. If you didn't go or didn't watch it, stick around and we'll offer you a chance to hear some highlights from the ceremony itself. The new governor, in her inaugural speech, spoke about cooperation, unity, and love. Our Political Pulse correspondents Mal Leary and Steve Missler spoke with Maine calling host Jennifer Rooks about what issues might overshadow the Maine political landscape and what Mainers can expect from the Mills administration. Mal told Jennifer he got a hint the morning after the inaugural.
It was an interesting situation. As Attorney General, she often would kind of pop into the office first thing in the morning and say, I'm going to have a press release suing somebody about something later that day. And this morning, I just turned around and there she was with her bodyguard, basically telling me that I'm going to rename three of Governor LePage's commissioners to another term. And by the way, I'm going to put out an executive order later today dealing with Medicaid expansion to get that started. So it was like deja vu, except she's governor now instead of attorney general, just stopping by to give us a heads up that we're going to have some major issues to deal with.
And when you say popping into the office, Mal, you mean that the governor of the state of Maine took the elevator down to the basement of the state office building and went into the press office to let you know what was going on, right? Steve, you're about to say that
Correct.
Something similar happened to you.
Mal's story reminds me of the day after the election when she sort of just came wandering down here clutching a sandwich and a bag of chips. It was sort of, there's the governor-elect coming down to the press corps, which is unusual over the last 8 years. This morning, I went up to the communications office where all of her new staff are sort of still moving in and everybody's holding boxes and unpacking them and everything else. And she just sort of wanders over with her security detail, which is probably a new experience for her as well, being trailed by a bodyguard all the time. And it was just, you know, she was just sort of casual about everything. I mean, I don't know how long that lasts, but it is markedly different than what we've experienced over the last 8 years anyway.
I want to ask
It's not that unusual, though, Jennifer, going back to previous governors. Angus King would occasionally drop over into the press area and just chat, as did John Baldacci. So, I mean, it has been a LePage phenomenon that he just does not like the press, did not like the press, didn't interact with us unless he had to.
I want to ask each of you about reaction to Governor Mills' inauguration speech last night. But first, we're going to run a little clip of it. And this is just the last minute of the speech, but it hits on at least three of the themes that were throughout.
And when a family, a community, a state believe in each other, help each other, love each other, great things can happen. Maine people have greatness within them. Maine is our home. We are connected by the rivers and the land, the forests and the mountains. We are connected by love. We are strengthened by those connections. We are one Maine, undivided, one family, from Calais to Bethel, from York to Fort Kent. And so we meet this evening, free from care. The heirs of Joseph Addian, Joshua Chamberlain, Flyrod Crosby, and Israel Washburn. And tomorrow, we rise before the dawn like the mist over the Sandy River and seek adventure. With hope in our hearts and love in our souls for the brand new day. And to all of you and to all the people of Maine, I say, welcome home. Welcome home!
Steve, I think just in that minute, we heard her use the word love three times.
Yeah, and overriding that, I think, is this message that she really wanted to convey last night, which is change and unity. And that is something that I think she's been talking about that a lot, even in the run-up to her speech, which is that, you know, we have big issues that confront this state, and we have differences of opinion about how to solve those problems. But those differences of opinion shouldn't be barriers, but they should be solutions. And she used her own family as an example where she described, you know, I mean, she has two brothers who are Republican, or at least one of them is. And she described every sort of family meeting as a sort of a convention at the UN, but everybody has an idea and everybody's fighting for the microphone. What she said is that experience with her siblings strengthens their family bond. And she tried to describe Maine as a family as well, trying to get rid of this idea that there are two Maines, that the state's problems are the state's problems, not one congressional district or the other, or one more rural areas versus urban areas. And I think that, you know, in theory, that sounds like a great idea. It'll be very hard to execute it. And I don't want to be a killjoy, but maybe Mal has some observations too.
Well, I don't want to be a killjoy either, but the reality is she put out a lot of broad themes of what she wants to accomplish. Accomplishing those goals is going to be far more difficult. I mean, the reality is she's still going to need Republican votes for some big items. For example, she talked about during the campaign some major bond proposals for a whole variety of projects to reinvigorate Maine's infrastructure, particularly expanding of broadband. Well, that takes a two-thirds vote of both branches, so she's got to pick up some Republican votes. That's a reality that we go forward with, is we're really kind of back to the politics that occurred when she was first elected to the legislature, where Republicans and Democrats fought. They oftentimes would be very angry with each other and then go out and have dinner together. And I think that's what she's hoping to see again, is that, yeah, there's going to be disagreements and, yes, there's going to be some fights. But in the end, they'll take the time to break bread together and work through the issues and come up with compromises that work.
To that point, I mean, the Republican response from Senate Republicans last night sort of verified what Mal is saying, which is that the governor has already reached out to them and sort of extended this, I don't know if it's an olive branch, but just saying he opened a line of communication to say, you know, here's what I want to do. Why don't you tell me what you want to do? And let's see if we can do this together. And I think they're very receptive to that idea. I mean, and in part because they don't really have a choice. They don't have a lot of numbers in the legislature. But also, maybe it would be a welcome sign for them, too. I mean, the two parties have been really clawing each other's eyes out here for the last 8 years. And if there's a chance to do a few things together, I think they will take that chance, potentially.
Look at one of the top issues during the campaign for her was the expansion of Medicaid. Voters approved it. Governor LePage kept blocking it. And the reality was the legislature had passed Medicaid expansion mechanisms by majority vote. It was the governor's veto power that prevented them from taking effect. And it was Republicans basically in the House upholding Governor LePage's vetoes. That political dynamic has now totally changed. And I think you're going to see them working together more on some legislation. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some battles, some fights. But the fact is, in past administrations that I've covered, afterwards I've heard from Democratic governors like John Baldacci, sometimes it was harder dealing with the Democrats than it was dealing with the opposition Republicans. And I think that Janet Mills is going to find that out as well. On some issues, she's going to run into more problems with the Democrats than the Republicans.
You both have been covering her throughout the campaign, the primary campaign, the general election. When she laid out her priorities in her speech last night, were there any surprises to you? Did you hear anything new?
I mean, obviously, putting solar panels on the Blaine House is a new specific proposal, although I think she could probably do that unilaterally. You know, I think it's just a detail. And then, of course, the other thing with the sign, like the welcome sign, where she wants to say, have the sign at the Kittery border say, welcome home, which I just took as that as a sort of a repudiation to LePage, who 8 years ago put up a sign in an identical spot that said, open for business. And I think that was more of a rhetorical promise that, you know, things are going to be different under this administration. But in terms of specific proposals, I didn't hear that. I mean, there weren't a lot of specifics to be had anyway. I would describe her speech as a rough sketch of ambition that she wants to pursue, because there wasn't a lot of detail, including things like funding for all these things that she wants to do, which was quickly pointed out, by the way, by the Republican senators that I spoke with afterwards. They said all these things cost money. And that's where we're probably going to have some disagreements. I think the speech, more than anything else, was a message to people who have, Democrats in particular, who have been waiting for this moment for 8 years. And you could just, see that, even in the sort of tedious procedures that led up to her even taking the oath of office. I mean, people were just waiting to stand up and cheer. And I think Democrats have been waiting for that for a very long time.
I think the only specifics we saw were ones she can accomplish herself within the executive office of the governor. She talked about creating an office of innovation. Now, she's talked about the need to innovate, but she's never quantified that as an office within the governor's office to work with her and present her with some ideas. And the same for the, I'll shorthand it to drug czar, that she talked about having somebody on her staff that's in charge of coordinating all the efforts to deal with the opioid crisis. Again, she talked about the need to do that in the campaign, but she'd never come out and said precisely that she was going to create this new office. The other thing she talked about, for example, improving broadband access, that's going to take a bond issue, that's going to take an appropriation, that's going to take some bipartisan efforts to get accomplished.
Coalition building is the key. To become the chief executive and to sort of build a coalition to support initiatives, I think, is challenge number one. You know, she certainly laid out her intention to do that and to do it in a bipartisan way. Executing it, that's what we're all waiting to see.
Mal, I was in the Augusta office yesterday and saw you reading through a stack of bills that the legislature will face, already finding out what kinds of things are being brought forward and wondering what you can tell us about that.
This is the first regular session of this legislature. So any legislator can put in any bill to do anything. And I can pretty much predict that they will. And we'll see some funny ones that will kind of surprise us. And we will see some what we call mundane or routine bills, like there's a bill in to exempt taxation sales to small nonprofit organizations. That's a typical kind of bill. And an act to encourage applied shellfish research. All these kinds of pieces of legislation are coming forward. How many? We don't know yet. The breadth of them, we don't know yet. And we still don't know, and won't until she decides to tell us, what are the bills the governor's going to introduce? Because the cloture, that is the December 31st deadline for lawmakers to file bills, does not apply to the governor. The governor can put in a bill at any time the governor wants to put in a bill.
We already know what we're starting with this session.
Yeah, it's a health care bill, which essentially aims to refute, I guess, this ruling in, I forget which court it was, out of Texas.
It was a Texas federal district court. It's not even gone up to the appeals court level.
Right, and which will be obviously be appealed. That, I felt like LD1 was more of an affirmation of everything that the Democrats ran on this year, which was protecting health care, ensuring access to health care. And LD1, although we don't have all the details of that particular bill yet, is essentially a political statement. It's sort of the follow through on what Democrats ran on, which was ensuring access to health care, protecting the access that we do have, which is either through Medicaid expansion or Medicaid or the Affordable Care Act.
And it's a bill that's going to get Republican support because it has the elements of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, if you prefer to call it that, that protect things that people want to see, like pre-existing conditions. That sort of protections have broad support among Republicans as well as Democrats. So, LD1 is one of those feel-good bills to start off with because I think it's going to get strong bipartisan support.
Mal Leary there, along with Steve Missler and Maine Calling's Jennifer Rooks. Now, as promised, we take you back to the inauguration of Janet Mills at the Augusta Civic Center.
Mr. Chairman, we have delivered the message with which we were charged and are pleased to report that the governor-elect will attend forthwith.
Make way! Make way!
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
We'll now have the invocation. The Reverend Kenneth Lewis.
I rise and stand before this august body to offer prayer on the cusp of the bicentennial of Maine statehood, the dawning of this historic inauguration of Janet T. Mills, the first woman elected governor in Maine's 199 100-year history of statehood.
Ambassador Molly and Dana.
I do have great hope for continued efforts to reach common ground and attempt to mend the bonds between the indigenous nations of Maine and the governing entities. This will take time, not an easy fix.
And Rabbi Eric Ash.
We recite this prayer tonight for the first day of a new administration, a new day for the state of Maine, and a historic first for women. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Praise
Wesley McNair, former poet laureate.
Let us sing a song for the unsung, for the Maine muskrat, whose name misunderstands the beauty of its sleek tail and its small, delicate ears.
This girl is on fire.
The duties incumbent on me as governor of the state of Maine. Wait.
According to the Constitution and the laws of the state.
According to the Constitution and the laws of the state.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Matthew Dunlap will come forward and read the proclamation.
That Janet Trafton Mills is governor and commander-in-chief of the state of Maine.
It's hard for me to top the Secretary of State, but it is my true honor and privilege to present the honorable governor of the great state of Maine, Janet Trafton Mills.
We air abbreviated versions of this podcast, Maine's Political Pulse, Fridays on Morning Edition. The podcast version is available online at mainepublic.org/politicalpulse or wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer is Willis Ryder Arnold. I'm Erwin Gratz. Do join us again next week.